I'm Matt Markgraff. You're listening to Sounds Good on WKMS, our midday music and community conversation program. We're joined now in the studio by Kate Lochte and Robert Valentine, here to talk about the West Kentucky Highland Games.
Master Valentine, welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Lochte. It's great to be here.
The Clan of Murray is the honored clan for the day tomorrow at Murray City Park as the games begin.
It is, and many people may not know, but it's the custom when you have a Scots festival that one family, one of the Scottish families, the clans, will be designated as the honored clan. And this year, very appropriately, it's Clan Murray, after whom the city is named.
I'm a little chagrined that I did not know that Clan Murray's crest, in fact, inspired the Murray State crest.
It did. When you see the number of badges and crests associated with the old families, but the basic theme that runs through all the crests of the Murray clan that you see is the shield with three stars. And that is the traditional crest of Murray State University. If you go to Rather Hall or Wilson Hall, you'll see that crest emblazoned, actually chiseled into the stone that forms the foundation stone, the keystone to the whole building.
And it persists through iterations of the university's logo. It is a keeper, as one might say.
Yeah, it's very nice that those kinds of traditions continue to persist, I think.
Those of
us who have an affection for history see that line. As a matter of fact, that's why you have the whole Highland Games, the Scottish Games and Festivals, to carry on the traditions of the past.
Well, I was thinking about that the West Kentucky Highland Games tomorrow from 10 to 4 in Murray City Park are such a wide range of experiences for children to take in. It's really a wonderful way for kiddos to a wide-eyed look at men throwing big things and men wearing kilts and try to understand what it's all about.
Oh, it is. And, you know, the first thing that happens, if you bring a wee bairn, you know, a young man or woman, if they're 10 or under, there's no admission for them. So they're learning the great value of Scotland. Save your money when you can. So they walk onto the grounds through the main gate there, and the first thing they're going to see is a bagpiper, because starting at 9:30, the pipers will be going up and down the avenue of clans there.
Will these be the peaceful bagpipers, not the bagpipers of war?
No, these are very peaceful because they only travel in groups of one or two. And Jim Cruikshank, who's from up in Paducah area, and Ed Smith, who's from down in Paris, they're going to be joined by Ray Main later in the day. Very fine pipers, and they're going to walk up and down throughout the festival all afternoon. There'll be a piper playing somewhere. And so you see this man wearing a kilt, and he's playing this strange-sounding instrument. If you're a young person, you say, well, that's interesting. Then you go on and you see the border collies who are herding the sheep, and you see the great Highland coos, these great shaggy beasts that don't get
coos.
Very tall. The coos, aye.
The coos are?
They're coos.
Are they?
They might be a bull, but mostly they call them coos.
Okay.
Cows.
Okay,
yeah.
Cows.
The Highland coos.
Cows.
Yeah.
Why are they special again? Are these shaggy cows?
They are shaggy cows, and they're great long-horned cows. And they
Where
are
do they come from?
From Scotland.
Yeah, but where do they live in the U.S.?
Oh, there are a number of breeders. They're
yeah.
very popular. The meat is very lean. The animals do not need special grasslands. They will browse up trees, and they will go through woodlands eating what they choose. And still, the meat is very lean. It's said that there is a herd of 600 Highland cattle at Balmoral, the Queen's castle in Scotland, and that the Queen Mum, who passed away, she was aged over a century, over 100 years, that was the only beef that she ever ate was from the Highland coo, and it certainly didn't hurt her, apparently. But they're very nice, they're very gentle animals. They have the great long horns, and it's believed that they were, in fact, the ancestors of the very sturdy beasts who first inhabited the West, that they were interbred with Mexican cattle and English strains and French strains, and that's what made the great herds that rode the Santa Fe Trail.
So you've got these coos, and you've got you've got some representative food from Scotland, the West Kentucky Highland Festival Scotch egg.
The Scotch egg, yes.
Well, describe the Scotch egg.
Well, first of all, let's get this straight. Your listeners should not be concerned. No Scotch was abused in the making of these eggs. The Scotch egg
that is... That might not be a plus.
It depends on the cook, doesn't it? The Scotch egg is a traditional food. It's essentially a hard-boiled egg that is then covered over with a sausage paste that is a finely chopped meat that's been mixed with certain spices. And then it's turned into a sausage or a paste. And you cover the egg with that, and then you traditionally fry it. Many people now, in the interest of a good health, will bake it or do something else with an oven so there's not so much oil there. But traditionally, it was fried in animal fats. And that formed a hard shell around the meat and the egg. So you take a couple of those eggs that now have meat and egg, and you throw in a few pieces of bread, you wrap it up in a wee cloth, and you give it to your husband when he's on his way out to the field or out to poach a deer.
And you can have one at the West Kentucky Highland Game.
Yeah, they're quite good.
Murray City Park tomorrow from 10 to 4.
Indeed.
All day long there are events. I see a tug of war, I think, at 10:45.
There is a tug. I'm not sure who the teams are this year, but and it's very interesting. Many Scots games you go to in the United States, they don't feature the tug of war. But if you went to the Highland Games, that's usually a feature of the summer in Scotland when the weather is most compatible. And there's one every weekend. You could go throughout the country every weekend and go to a Highland Games. And there is always a tug of war. As a matter of fact, there'll be a tournament.
And then there are all sorts of tossing things.
Yes, that's called the heavy athletics, the Scots Games. That's the true nature of the games. Otherwise, it's a festival. And you will see people say, if it's just music and vendors and dance, they'll say it's the Highland Festival. But once you have the athletics in there, that's the true games. And these were events that the Scots used in the old days to prepare young men to be warriors. And so it's the throwing of the Clannert Stone, this great 40 or 50-pound weight, and a man picks it up, which would be enough for most of us. And then he heaves it through the air, and that's measured how far did he throw it. The putting of the hammer, which involves timing and accuracy. There's the sheaf toss. Now, that sheaf with an F, no sheep are damaged in the sheaf toss, you know. And it used to be they'd take a bale of hay, straw, sheaf of wheat, and you put a pitchfork in it and see how high you could throw it. Well, after a while, you know, the sheaf of wheat would fall all apart, wouldn't it, from striking the ground. So now, to make it a fair competition, they use a burlap bag filled with rope. And so you stab it with the pitchfork. Now, using the pitchfork, how high can you throw that? Over a bar. So that's for height.
And you just keep raising the bar to
until you
eliminate.
Find the winner.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And then finally you get the caber, which is the queen of Scots athletics. That's the picture you always see, these great stout lads lifting up a caber, which is simply a Scots word for a log or tree trunk. And it's usually something about 8 to 10 inches across. So that's fairly stout log. Looks a bit like a telephone pole. It usually is anywhere from 15 to 18 feet in length and weighs upwards of 130 pounds. So just to lift it is a good trick. And then the contestant, once he's got the bottom of that pole balanced in his two hands, he starts moving. And the pole will start to lean, and it's a matter of great timing. The athletes tell me it's all about timing. It's not so much strength as the timing of that moment when you release it. You let it go, and you push as hard as you can. And the objective is to get the end that was in the man's hand, facing the earth, closest to the earth, to go over the other end and land as far from the contestant as it could possibly be. So if you flip that up in the air, it did an end over and landed with the bottom in the 12 o'clock position. If you were standing on the face of a clock, it's in the 12 o'clock position. That's a perfect turning of the caber. And I made a mistake there, Kate. I said, the man takes it. Very often at games, the lassies are involved in the caber toss as well.
I'm glad to hear that.
Women often compete in the Highland Games.
These are all pros.
There are amateur divisions. As a matter of fact, Mark Wrinkle, who's very frequently a visitor at the Murray Games, started at the Murray Games when they were held in Carson Park in Paducah, the West Kentucky Games then. He got interested. Somebody said, would you like to try? And he is now a ranked contender in the professional ranks nationally.
So Highland Games have a circuit.
Yes. Oh, yes.
All over the United States.
There are large games and small. Vicki and I just came back from the Dandridge Scots-Irish Festival, which is mostly music and vendors and dance, great dance. The pipers compete for prizes. The dancers compete. And they don't have an athletic competition except for a few demonstrations, which has been the case in past at the Murray Games. And then you go to some place like Glasgow, Kentucky, or the Smoky Mountain Games in Murrayville, Tennessee, or the Stone Mountain Games, which is a huge affair with tens of thousands of people attending, goes on for days in Stone Mountain in Georgia. And there you'll see sanctioned athletic competitions. As a matter of fact, at Glasgow last year, they had 3 international records set.
Oh my goodness.
During the competition.
Who'd have thunk, you know?
Who would? Little tiny Glasgow.
How many Scots will we be welcoming to Murray tomorrow?
Well, there'll be a number of families represented. Each family will probably have, as many as 10 or 12 representatives, and as few as just two or so who've come. The Shaws are great attenders of the Murray Games. Clan Shaw has always been represented, and Clan Murray has been represented on many occasions. As a matter of fact, at the first games, Clan Murray had its annual general meeting of the North American Society right here in Murray. And that's what started the Murray Highland Games so many years ago.
It's a big event. Once again, we're talking about the West Kentucky Highland Games, bringing Scottish heritage alive in Murray tomorrow from 10 to 4 at Murray City Park and Central Park. And so if you're not a wee bairn, how much do you have to pay to see?
Oh, that will be the £5 note American.
Not a big deal there.
No, my goodness, no.
For everything that you can go in and see and experience, and you can buy a kilt or a shirt or...
You can. Scotland Yard, which oddly enough is actually a Kentucky company. They're based, I think, in Shelbyville, Kentucky. Scotland Yard is one of the largest vendors of Scottish apparel in the United States. They make a very fine kilt, a woolen kilt for men and women. They'll be there, and there'll be food vendors and ware vendors of all kinds. The jewelry is very popular. There'll be people, I think, that have the weapons. They'll have, knives and that sort of thing. Because every Scotsman, and if you'll notice, you get to the grounds, you'll see here these men wearing a kilt. And the kilt, of course, with the kilt, they wear the kilt hose, what some people call knee socks. You know, they don't cover the knees. It's kilt hose. And into the right kilt hose, the outside edge of the hose, you'll see a little blade handle sticking up there. And it's traditional for a Scotsman, if he has on his kilt hose, he'll also have the skiandu, which is a little knife. And people call it...
Do you have a skiandu?
Oh, I do. Yeah, sure.
So Master Robert Valentine is the master of ceremonies for tomorrow's event in Murray City Park. And It's really something that you ought to take your kids to and enjoy, put on your sweaters.
And they get to play games, the Wee Bairns games. Dr. Robertson and his crew conduct the Wee Bairns games. They get to throw a wee caber and conduct many of the simulated competitions just like the heavy athletes do and run races. And it's great fun for the kids, and they win very nice. It's traditional there at the games, you win a medal, see? So you can wear that or hang it on your mirror at home, and you don't forget that at one time you were just as good as Braveheart.
May we go out with a bagpipe joke?
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, it's not a joke, but it's funny you should mention that. My neighbor came over and knocked on my door 2:30 this morning. You imagine that?
Imagine that.
And he's, of course, he's a MacLeod. He's a Scotsman too, by coincidence, but came all the way over. He's not that close. He must be 200 yards away. And he came over and knocked on my door at 2:30. Thank goodness I was still up practicing my bagpipes, or it would have irritated me enormously. You know how you can tell if a bagpiper is a true gentleman? You know how to tell if a bagpiper is a true gentleman? He won't play. We have great sport with the bagpipers, but they mean all the world to the Hallen Games. When you hear that sound, you know why. The bagpipe is the only musical instrument that's been officially designated as an instrument of war, because it really stirs the troops, it stirs the blood, makes you feel
And it frightens everyone around.
It frightens the doggies and the chickens, and yes, and there are certain small imported cars that can't be parked near the bagpipes. Glass will break. That's going to be a grand time in the park tomorrow, I tell you that. The Mayor Wells is going to come and give a welcoming remark, and Mr. Wayne Murray, who is the Executive Vice President of Clan Murray Association North America, will actually be there as the honored guest to officially declare the games open at the ceremony, which begins at noon. It's going to be a beautiful day. Good Scottish weather, brisk, 60, 65 degrees. You get your sweater, come out, and you come out and you say, I'm not afraid of the heat or the humidity. I get to return to the full and natural state of being a human.
Thank you for being with us.
Oh, pleasure as always.